Welcome, everyone, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to be here with you, to sing with you praises to our God, to enjoy wonderful Sunday school classes. I'm so thankful to be a part of this body of Christ, this body of believers in Jesus Christ. I've been led this morning to preach about the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon, a record of the Nephites, the Lamanites, and the Jaredites. If you get your Book of Mormon out and you open up about four pages before the first chapter, there's a title page of the Book of Mormon, and in the, like I said, it's in the Independence, 1990 Independence edition. It's about four pages before chapter one. And here it says, "Wherefore it is an abridgment of the record of the people of Nephi and also of the Lamanites, written to the Lamanites, which are a remnant of the house of Israel, and also to Jew and Gentile, written by way of commandment, and also by the spirit of prophecy and of revelation, written and sealed and hid up unto the Lord, that they might not be destroyed, to come forth by the gift and power of God unto the interpretation thereof, sealed up by the hand of Moroni, and hid up unto the Lord, to come forth in due time by the way of Gentile, the interpretation thereof by the gift of God." An abridgment taken from the Book of Ether also, which is a record of the people of Jared, which were scattered at the time of the Lord, at the time the Lord confounded the language of the people when they were building a tower to get to heaven, which is to shew unto the remnant of the house of Israel how great things the Lord hath done for their fathers, and that they may know the covenants of the Lord, that they are not cast off forever, and also to the convincing of the Jew and Gentile that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal God, manifesting himself unto all nations. And now, if there be fault, it be the mistake of men. Wherefore, condemn not the things of God, that ye may be found spotless at the judgment seat of Christ. In down below the title page, it has there's this statement: concerning the above, and I abridge this statement a little bit, or condense it. Concerning the above, Joseph Smith stated in his manuscript, History of the Church, "I wish to mention here that the title page of the Book of Mormon is a literal translation taken from the very last leaf on the left-hand side of the collection or Book of Plates, which contain the record which has been translated, the language of the whole running the same as the Hebrew writing in general, from right to left," says the editor of this. "And that said title page is not by any means a modern composition, either of mine or any other man who has lived or does live in this generation." And that is taken from the Utah History of the Church, Volume 1, page 71. But from this, we know that that this title page was, I would imagine, given by Moroni. And in it is contained a purpose in this Book of Mormon. Going back, I want to point out that it's written to Jew and Gentile, as well as the house of Israel. It's written to the Lamanites, that they may learn of Christ at some later day. And it's written to Jew and Gentile. It says it also to the convincing of the Jew and Gentile that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal God, manifesting himself unto all nations. It is an abridgment of the record of the people of Nephi, also of the Lamanites. From the 1828 Noah Webster Dictionary, abridge is defined as to make shorter, to epitomize, to contract by using fewer words, yet retaining the sense and substance used in writings. So, Mormon and Moroni abridged these records. And we'll read later, they said they couldn't even write a small part of the works of what had taken place in this history. And also in John, John, I think it's chapter 21, verse 25. John chapter 21, verse 25. It says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And you know, Jesus performed works in Jerusalem and on this land. And so Mormon and Moroni, when they had the plates of Nephi, and they had the 24 plates of the Book of Ether, they had to condense them. They had to take out those things that were not so worthy for our soul's welfare. But they retained, as this said, the sense in substance. They retained what was important for our soul's welfare. Turn with me to Words of Mormon, chapter 1, verse 4. And here, Mormon is discussing this abridgment that he made. And now I speak somewhat concerning that which I have written, for after that I had made an abridgment from the plates of Nephi down to the reign of King Benjamin, of which Malachi spake, I searched among the records which had been delivered into my hands, and I found these plates which contained this small account of the prophets from Jacob down to the reign of King Benjamin, and also many of the words of Nephi. And the things which are upon these plates pleasing me because of the prophecies of the coming of Christ and my father's knowing the many that many of them have been fulfilled, yea, and I also know that as many things as have been prophesied concerning us down to this day hath been fulfilled. I love reading that because as he was abridging these records and he was reading them, he knew that these prophecies had been fulfilled. And as you read through the Book of Mormon, it's so fascinating the more you read it, the more you read through it, especially from beginning to end, the more you recognize within the Book of Mormon prophecies that were fulfilled within the Book of Mormon. So one part of history, at the beginning of the history, prophecies were made and it was fulfilled later on in the history. But yet, there are prophecies yet to be fulfilled. Yea, and I also, in verse 7, I'm starting out again. Yea, and I also know that as many things as have been prophesied concerning us down to this day hath been fulfilled, and as many as go beyond this day must surely come to pass. Wherefore I chose these things to finish my record upon them, which remainder of my record I shall take from the plates of Nephi. And I cannot write 100th part of the things of my people. So he made this abridgment because he couldn't write even 100th part of what had taken place. Yet he wanted to write those things that were most important for our souls and for the conversion of his brethren, the Lamanites, at some future date. Verse 9. Oh, no, not yet. We'll go to that later. So we find in the words of Mormon chapter 1, verse 4, that this Book of Mormon was an abridgment of the plates of Nephi. In verse 8, Mormon notes that I cannot write 100th part of the things of my people. We will be coming back to this chapter. I think we will. We'll see. turn with me now to Ether chapter 1, verse 1. And now I, Moroni, proceed to give an account of those ancient inhabitants which were destroyed by the hand of the Lord upon the face of this north country. And I take mine account from the 24 plates which were found by the people of Limhi, which is called the Book of Ether. And as I suppose that the first part of this record, which speaketh concerning the creation of the world, and also of Adam, and an account from that time even to the great tower, and whatsoever things transpired among the children of men until that time is had among the Jews. Therefore, I do not write those things which transpired from the days of Adam until that time, but they are had upon the plates, and whoso findeth them, the same will have power that he may get the full account. But behold, I give not the full account, but a part of the account I give from the tower down until they were destroyed. And on this wise do I give the account. Before I go on, I just want to make an aside how amazing it is, how important it is that we have the Word of God. How people gave up their lives, were willing to give up their lives that we might have it, that their own children might have it, but how God purposed that we would have his word and that his word would be pure. And these 20 and 4 plates, these 24 plates, the book of Ether, when the languages were confounded and the people dispersed upon the lands of the earth, they still had that record from Adam until the time of the building of the Tower of Babel. They had that so that there would be no excuse for their disobedience, but that they would have every support that they needed to fulfill and keep the commandments of God. Not only they had it, but also also Lehi and Nephi. That's why God allowed or even commanded Nephi to take the life of Laban, was so that they would have those records, that their people would not dwindle because of a lack of knowledge, but that they would have before them the first five books, the books of Moses, and some of the prophets, that they would have the law and that they'd be able to keep it. So here in this book of Ether that we have, it is an abridgment of the book, the original book of Ether that was contained on the in the 24 plates discovered by King Limhi's people. We find in Ether 1, verse 5, that Moroni gives part of the account of the people of Jared and the brother of Jared from the time of the confounding of the languages because of the building of the Tower of Babel to the destruction of the people of Jared. So, God has a wise purpose in this Book of Mormon, and the Lord knoweth all things which are to come. And to read about that, let's go back to Words of Mormon, chapter 1. Verses 9 through 12. But behold, I shall take these plates which contain these prophesyings and revelations and put them with the remainder of my record, for they are choice unto me. And I know that they will be choice unto my brethren. And I do this for a wise purpose, for thus it whispereth me, according to the workings of the Spirit of the Lord, which is in me. And now I do not know all things, but the Lord knoweth all things which are to come. Wherefore he worketh in me to do according to his will. And my prayer to God is concerning my brethren, that they may once again come to the knowledge of God, yea, the redemption of Christ, that they may once again be a delightsome people. I think about... sort of guessing here, but I think I remember Nephi, and I think Omni maybe. But many of these prophets of this land who watered their pillows, who cried out to God, for their brethren, and that at some future date they would repent and they would learn of him and know of him and serve him. And those cries still come up today to God, that he would fulfill those prayers. because they prayed with faith. And so that is one purpose in this Book of Mormon, that to the convincing of the Lamanites that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And and as we read earlier in the title page, that it is to the convincing of the Jews and the Gentiles. I do this for a wise purpose. Mormon tells us that he makes this abridgment and chooses these accounts for a wise purpose, that the Spirit of the Lord whispers to him, that still small voice of the speaking of the will of God. Alma refers to that wise purpose when he commanded his son, and we'll turn to that in Alma chapter 17. And Alma, the son of Alma, had gathered his sons together to give each one a commandment, or commandments, and he spoke to them separately. But he gives an account of what he said to his sons. And to his son Helaman, who was a young man, he gave these records to keep pure, and to continue them for the wise purposes of the Lord. So that's found in Alma chapter 17, verse 31. And now, my son Helaman, I command you that ye take the records which have been entrusted with me. Let me read that again. And now, my son Helaman, I command you that ye take the records which have been entrusted with me. And I also command you that ye shall keep a record of this people, according as I have done, upon the plates of Nephi, and keep all these things sacred which I have kept, even as I have kept them, for it is for a wise purpose that they are kept. And I want to emphasize that word sacred, not changed, not diluted, not taken for granted. Verse 32, and these plates of brass which contain these engravings, which have the records of the Holy Scriptures upon them. We were in Sunday school this morning, and we were talking about these changes that have been made. And I'll refer to that in a little bit later, but have been made to the Bible. And we were talking about how our brother Ian mentioned that the lie from the beginning from the devil was, thou shalt not surely die, just by changing one word. And he mentioned, you know, just by changing the word holy to unholy, describes for us what changing the Word of God does. It makes it unholy. It makes it rotten. Verse 33, and behold, it hath been prophesied by our fathers that they should be kept and handed down from one generation to another, and be kept and preserved by the hand of the Lord until they shall go forth unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, that they shall know of the mysteries contained thereon. And now behold, if they are kept, they must retain their brightness. And I believe that that brightness is their purity, because in their purity is life, is power. Yea, and they will retain their brightness, and also shall all the plates which do contain that which is holy writ. So if it remains holy and pure, it retains its brightness. Now ye may suppose that it is foolishness in me, but behold, I say unto you that by small and simple things are great things brought to pass. And small means, in many instances, do confound the wise. We can just go back in recent meaning the past 200 and something years, when our forefathers knelt the knee and cried out to God and asked God for his guidance in their forming of a nation, and what power God gave them to fulfill or to answer that prayer. But what power God used that we might have this record. You think some, and I'm just guessing, some 1,400 years, it was in the earth, and it was brought to light, and it was translated by a gift of God. A humble man at the time who was willing to spend hours and hours, a few men, hours and hours with a stone and interpreting these records, and what power God gave them to be able to interpret them so that we might have them, and so that the Lamanites might have them, and so that the Jews might have them, and so that every nation, kindred, tongue, and people should have them. Now ye may suppose that this is foolishness in me, but behold, I say unto you that by small and simple things are great things brought to pass, and small means in many instances doth confound the wise. And that leads me to another purpose of this book, and that is the confounding of false doctrines. That this book, this record, this abridgment, should be used together with the Bible, with the Holy Bible. And you should be used to confound all false doctrines. And that's because they testify one of another of the truth, the validity of God's word. Verse 36. And the Lord God doth work by means to bring about his great and eternal purposes. And by very small means, the Lord doth confound the wise and bringeth about the salvation of many souls. And now it hath hitherto been wisdom in God that these things should be preserved. For behold, they have enlarged the memory of this people, yea, and convinced many of the error of their ways, and brought them to the knowledge of their God, unto the salvation of their souls. Yea, I say unto you, were it not for these things that the records do contain, which are on the plates, Ammon and his brethren could not have convinced so many thousands of the Lamanites of the incorrect tradition of their fathers. So we see that this record, this commandment of God being fulfilled, these passing down of these records, gave the ability of Ammon and his brothers to go witness to the Lamanites. They themselves, Ammon and their brothers, were rebellious before their conversion. And through the power of God and an angel, they were humbled before the Lord. They repented, and they cried out to God to ask what he would have them do. And they went to the Lamanites, hoping to convert one soul, just one soul. And because they were grounded in the word of God, I just want to turn there just a second. I think it's in Alma chapter 12. When they first started out in verse 13, it's on page 363, they first started out on their journey just to save one soul. And it says, and thus they departed into the wilderness with their numbers, which they had selected, to go up to the land of Nephi, to preach the word of God unto the Lamanites. And it came to pass that they journeyed many days in the wilderness, and they fasted much and prayed much, and that the Lord would grant unto them a portion of his spirit to go with them and abide with them, and that they might be an instrument in the hands of God to bring, if it were possible, their brethren the Lamanites to the knowledge of the truth, to the knowledge of the baseness of the traditions of their fathers, which were not correct. And it came to pass that the Lord did visit them with his spirit and said unto them, be comforted. And they were comforted. And the Lord said unto them also, go forth among the Lamanites, thy brethren, and establish my word. Yet ye will be patient in long suffering and afflictions, that ye may shew forth good examples unto them in me. And I will make an instrument of thee in my hands unto the salvation of many souls. And they were able to do that, says Alma, because they were grounded in the word of God. They feasted upon it. Here, in fact, here in verse 4, it says that for they were men of a sound understanding, and they had searched the scriptures diligently that they might know the word of God. They feasted upon it. So back to verse 37 of Alma 17. And now it hath hitherto been wisdom. Let's see, I'm sorry, I had already read 38, so I'll start at 39. Yea, these records and their words brought them unto repentance. Talking about Ammon and their brothers. That is, they brought them to the knowledge of the Lord their God and to rejoice in Jesus Christ their Redeemer. A purpose. A wise purpose of the Book of Mormon, to bring us to the knowledge of the Lord our God and to rejoice in Jesus Christ our Redeemer. Verse 40. And who knoweth but what they will be the means of bringing many thousands of them, yea, and also many thousands of our stiff-necked brethren, the Nephites, which are now hardening their hearts in sins and iniquities. This is Alma speaking. At a time when the Nephites began to harden their hearts to God's ways. In sins and iniquities to the knowledge of their Redeemer. They had hardened their hearts to the knowledge of their Redeemer. Now these mysteries are not yet fully made known unto me. Therefore I will forbear. And what I love about reading about this, Nephi spoke about this wise purpose of these records being passed down, this Book of Mormon, this abridgment that we have today. He said, when he spoke of this wise purpose, he said he didn't know what it was. Mormon, when he spoke about this wise purpose, said he didn't know all of it, but that he prayed to God that at some future date, the Lamanites might have it. We know that Moroni, I'm assuming, that wrote this, the title page, spoke of the wise purpose being for the convincing of the Lamanites and the Jews and the Gentiles at some later date to a knowledge of their Redeemer. So God gives us understanding by the spirit of prophecy and revelation if we're willing to listen by the reading of his word, by the searching of it diligently, by spending time with him in fasting and prayer. He's willing to reveal these things to us, his wise purposes. Verse 42. And it may suffice if I only say they are preserved for a wise purpose, which purpose is known unto God, for he doth counsel in wisdom over all his works. There are many things we'll never know, but God knows them all. He knows his reasons why. For he doth counsel in wisdom over all his works, and his paths are straight, and his course is one eternal round. Oh, remember, my son Helaman, how strict are the commandments of God. He tells us, he gives it to us plain so that we'll understand his commandments. But he expects us to keep them, and so that his purposes are fulfilled. Verse 44. And he saith, if ye will keep my commandments, ye shall prosper in the land. But if ye keep not his commandments, ye shall be cut off from his presence. And now remember, my son, that God has entrusted you with these things which are sacred, which he hath kept sacred, and also which he will keep and preserve for a wise purpose in him, that he may shew forth his power unto future generations. And now behold, I tell you by the spirit of prophecy, that if ye transgress the commandments of God, behold, these things which are sacred shall be taken away from you by the power of God, and ye shall be delivered up unto Satan, that he may sift you as chaff before the wind. But if ye keep the commandments of God and do with these things which are sacred according to that which the Lord doth command you, for ye must appeal to the Lord, ye must appeal unto the Lord for all things whatsoever ye must do with them. Behold, no power of earth or hell can take them from you, for God is powerful to the fulfilling of all his words. For he will fulfill all his promises which he shall make unto you. For he hath fulfilled his purposes which he hath made unto our fathers. For he promised unto them that he would reserve these things for a wise purpose in him, that he might shew forth his power unto future generations. And now behold, one purpose hath he fulfilled, even to the restoration of many thousands of the Lamanites to the knowledge of the truth. And he hath shewn forth his power in them, that he will also still shew forth his power in them unto future generations. Therefore they shall be preserved. Therefore I command you, my son Helaman, that ye will be diligent in fulfilling all my words, and that ye be diligent in keeping the commandments of God as they are written. This commandment is unto Helaman. But I believe that we are to keep these records sacred. Sacred, not just something that is beautiful on our shelf, or but something sacred that we don't take for granted, but that they become something alive in us, that they become the catalyst for our purpose, the guidance that we need to fulfill our purpose. There are I've spoken of other wise purposes, one of which was that they confound false doctrines. I mentioned that earlier. And I wanted to see if I can find a scripture real quick on that. I can see this handwriting. I think it's in the second book of Nephi. There it is. Second book of Nephi, chapter 2, verse 21. And I'm going to begin. And this is Lehi, and he's speaking to his son Joseph. And he says in verse 20, "And that which shall be written by the fruit of my loins," meaning his descendants, Lehi's descendants, "and also that which shall be written by the fruit of the..." And I am thinking that this was actually Joseph of Egypt prophesying. In verse 11 it says, "Yea, Joseph truly said, thus saith the Lord unto me, a choice seer will I raise up." And so yes, this is, but it's speaking, when it speaks of the fruit of my loins shall write, this people who are descendants of Joseph. And so in verse 20 it says, "And that which shall be written by the fruit of my loins, and also that which shall be written by the fruit of the loins of Judah, shall grow together unto the confounding of false doctrines and laying down of contentions, and establishing peace among the fruit of thy loins, and bringing them to the knowledge of their fathers in the latter days." And so that it's talking about our day, this prophecy of the Gentiles now having this Bible being the fruit of the loins of Judah, and this Book of Mormon, the fruit of the loins, written of the fruit of the loins of Joseph, and these coming together to confound false doctrine and being given to the Lamanites that they might come to a knowledge of their fathers, and also of a knowledge of God's covenants, of my covenants, saith the Lord. "And out of weakness he shall be made strong." Oh, I'm going to stop there. And then another wise purpose of the Lord was God speaks what he wants. He speaks when he wants, and whether we believe him or not is our choice. And so God chose to speak And he commanded men to write and to keep a record. And so that is one of the purposes that we have the Book of Mormon, to have God's word. And in 2nd Book of Nephi, I was concerned that this sermon wasn't complete. And I was tempted not to go to Sunday school and to go finish it somewhere. And God said, no, you're not doing that. So I went to Sunday school, and I was so thankful because the sermon was completed there. We were studying a study that our brother Bill Malone prepared, and that his son Daniel is conducting teaching, and we were on the subject of the Book of Mormon, and Brother Jeremiah Yates said, I have a scripture that goes along with this. So I said, can I use this in my sermon? So it's this verse, 2nd Book of Nephi, chapter 12, verse 44 through 63. And my words shall hiss forth from the ends of the earth for a standard unto my people, which are of the house of Israel. And because my words shall hiss forth, many of the Gentiles shall say, a Bible, a Bible. We have got a Bible, and there cannot be any more Bible. But thus saith the Lord God, O fools, they shall have a Bible, and it shall proceed forth from the Jews, mine ancient covenant people. And what think they, the Jews, for the Bible which they receive from them? Yea, and what do the Gentiles mean? Do they remember the travails and the labors and the pains of the Jews and their diligence unto me in bringing forth salvation unto the Gentiles? O ye Gentiles, have ye remembered the Jews, mine ancient covenant people? Nay, but ye have cursed them and have hated them and have not sought to recover them. But behold, I will remember all these things upon your own heads. For I, the Lord, hath not forgotten my people. Thou fool that shall say a Bible. We have got a Bible, and we need no more Bible. Have ye obtained a Bible, save it were by the Jews? Know ye not that there are more nations than one? Know ye not that I, the Lord your God, have created all men? And I remember they which are upon the isles of the sea, and that I rule in the heavens above and in the earth beneath, and I bring forth my word unto the children of men, yea, even upon all the nations of the earth. Wherefore murmur ye, because that ye shall receive more of my word? Know ye not that the testimony of two nations is a witness unto you that I am God, that I remember one nation like unto another? Wherefore I speak the same words unto one nation like unto another. And when the two nations shall run together, the testimony of the two nations shall run together also. And I do this that I may prove unto many that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that I speak forth my words according to mine own pleasure. And because that I have spoken one word, ye need not suppose that I cannot speak another. For my work is not yet finished, neither shall it be until the end of man, neither from that time henceforth and forever. And this book testifies of other books that will come forth from other tribes of Israel. God has not stopped speaking. He's still speaking today, if we're willing to listen. And when he speaks to us, we're commanded to write. Wish I had that verse here, but it commands every... When God reveals something to any man or woman or child, to write it, to keep it as a record. Of course, God never changes, so it must be in accordance with the Bible and Book of Mormon, those two testimonies of two nations that come together to confound false doctrines. So another purpose, to record what God spoke. In our day, there are changes being made to Bibles, changes that cause Holy Writ to be unholy. And this, another purpose of this book is to testify of the word as it was originally written. And I want to give you an example of that. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, in verse 4, it talks about this is a prophecy against the king of Babylon, but it is also a prophecy against Satan. And in verse 12, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down from the ground which didst weaken the nations?" And if you read from the new modern versions of the Bible, this verse 12 is changed. And rather than saying, "O Lucifer, son of the morning," the word Lucifer is stricken, taken out. And the word sun is changed to star, star of the morning. And some versions even say morning star. So it would be reread like this: "How art thou fallen from heaven, O morning star?" Well, we know from Revelations chapter 20, verse 16, Jesus says in Revelation 22, verse 16, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star." So these modern versions change this prophecy from being against Satan to being against our Lord Jesus Christ, Antichrist. And this Book of Mormon was given so that we might know the truth, how it was originally written. I was thinking about that changing in these modern versions one day, and the Holy Spirit told me, look to see if that verse is in the Book of Mormon. And so I did. And I will tell you where it's found. In just a minute. Second Book of Nephi, chapter 12, verse 34. And Nephi, I think it's still Nephi here. Towards the end of this, Jacob begins to speak. But in chapter 12, verse 34,
second book of Nephi. Hold on real quick. Maybe I have the wrong verse here. Second book of Nephi, chapter 10, verse 34. I'm sorry, I can't see that concordance very well. Chapter 10, verse 34, and Nephi is quoting from Isaiah, and he says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations?" Confirmation that the way the Bible was originally written is true. A testimony of the Holy Bible. Another wise purpose in the Book of Mormon. I want to invite each one of you, beginning May 5th, from 3 to 6 p.m., we will be starting a Book of Mormon read-through. If you've never had or taken the opportunity to read through the Book of Mormon, this is your opportunity. We're going to start reading through, and we're going to pick Sundays to read through. We're not going to discuss. The purpose of this is to read through and to see this work in totality, because it's so beautiful when you read through it. You're enlightened to so many things when you read through it. It's important to study it as well and to take time and study it, but it's also important to read through it in its entirety. So we'll be reading through it May 5th from 3 to 6 p.m. and also May 26th. I look forward to seeing you here, that we may not take for granted this Book of Mormon, that we may gain more understanding of its purpose in our generations.